Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord on Mother's Day. Beautiful day. A beautiful day, a Mother's Day. I hope that you read Psalms 91 this week. Because if you didn't, we're fixing to. We're going to read Psalms 91. I want Cheryl to read that to us, and I want you to really look at Psalms 91 and realize the importance of what is in Psalms 91. If you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and you'll say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my strength, then no sickness and no disease will come near you. Now, how many of you would like to live the rest of your life with no sickness and no disease? Hey, I'm in there with that. I'm going to throw up both hands just like you do. Yeah. I'm going to be like Jimmy that time when he came down. He told us, you know, he was 88 years old when he had his first sick day. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
I mean, and he looked like he was 65. He certainly didn't look like he was 90-something. But anyway, he told me, he said, I had my first sick day. I sinned. I didn't realize that I hadn't never had a sick day. And all of a sudden, he'd done something he shouldn't have done. And he got out of his love walk, and he had one sick day. He said, I had never had a sick day in my entire life. Now, that's something, isn't it?
It sure is.
I can't say that. Boy, I've had a bunch of them in my life, so that tells me where I've lived. I certainly didn't walk where Jimmy walked. But anyway, he said that he had that first sick day, and after that day, after that one day, he said, Lord, I realize that this ain't no fun. You know, this is not what it's cracked up to be. Now, Miss Paula, you really know that, don't you, girl? Yeah, Miss Paula. Miss Paula, how many years, for the benefit of these people from California, how many years had you been sick before you got healed?
It was right at 20 years.
20 years. She was in pain and suffering. And she came out here, and now then, you've been completely healed for how long?
March was a year.
March will be a year.
Amen.
Now, all she had to do is believe. Are you healed?
Yes.
Amen. Amen, brother. Praise God. You got to believe it, though, don't you, Miss Paula?
Yes, sir.
You got to believe it, and the enemy tried to take it away from you, too, didn't he?
Three times,
but she ain't going there no more. She's just like Jimmy. Once she's tasted what it's like to be well, she loves being well. There ain't nothing like being well, is there, Franz?
No,
not a thing, that's for sure. I love being well. So anyway, Jimmy said that after he had that one sick day, he decided, I ain't doing this no more. I'm going to walk in love. When God commanded me to love one another, I realized he meant what he said. And so I'm going to do what he says. And so then I know he'll do what he says. And I know I don't ever have to have another sick day. And Jimmy, it's 90-something, I forget. Does anybody remember?
He was 98 a couple of years. He's probably...
He's close to 100.
He's yes. Close. He's very close. Maybe 99 right
now. Now, he's close to 100, and he still drives. And he doesn't wear glasses. So that's got to tell you something. You know, this guy is some kind of a guy. You know, so, but anyway, if we realize, and if we'll obey and do what this says, and I'm going to be like that preacher that I'm going to preach Psalms 91 every Sunday. And one day y'all are going to say, you know, that really is a good sermon, but why don't you preach on something else? I said, when y'all start doing what I said in this Psalm 91, then I'll start preaching something else.
Amen.
But Bill ain't used to preach nothing else until we do what he says in Psalm 91, right? That's the most awesome verse. Cheryl's going to read that with emphasis out loud, and I want you to see how wonderful this psalm is. Honey, read that for us, please.
Psalm 91, God's Prayer of Protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I have a praise report, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Cheryl's got a couple of praise reports.
And on our card it says, war is won in prayer. The weapons are the word of God.
Amen.
Just like that song said, the Lord sent his word to heal you. That's what you need. Yeah, we have Jimmy's, Davidson's prayers out front. Yes. All right, we had some praise reports. We read these yesterday, but some of y'all have not heard them. This was written to Sharon. Appreciate your prayer for my healing last Monday. My hip and leg were in terrible pain, and it stopped in 5 to 10 minutes. It was a testimony to doctors, nurses, everyone there to see me stop hurting when Jesus healed me. Wow. All glory and praise to King Jesus, Jan Terry.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We serve an awesome God.
Dear Scriveners and TLSM family, thanks for all you do to serve us in the body of Christ. Through Jesus, in you, I've received healings from allergies and sinus problems, back issues, sciatic nerve in the left leg, heel that was painful from a pulled muscle, headaches, and other miscellaneous things, muscle cramps. God has taught me how to have divine healing by walking in confession of sins, praising the Lord, not grumbling and complaining, how to fight the spiritual warfare around us, obeying the Word, filling my mind with the Word, and asking freely as a son for what I need and want. I truly feel blessed and thank you for the part of my life history that God and you have helped change and improve. Love, Peter Davis.
Lord.
This is testimony. I have a multi-miracle testimony to share and half happened after hearing your CDs. I will summarize here, but I plan to make a concise video and send it in my thumb drive. Items I have joined in faith with you that have been miraculously healed. Hemorrhoids. I got them in 2009 as a side effect from acne medicine, but I'm sure sin let them in. The greatest suffering I had was in the last 2.5 years. Despite repenting night before our wedding, this was around the same time I got married, they would keep me up at night with excruciating pain to the point I could not even drive to work. I worked at the Nashville Prayer Center for CBN under Pat Robertson. I had to leave my job there because of the hemorrhoids. I was not healed until I talked to Pastor Thurman by email. Praise God.
Amen.
I am completely healed of pain and scarring and have a normal life now. I also continue to see others get healed and delivered as we minister to the Bonnaroo attendees. It's a 4-day music and drug festival attended by 100,000 people in June and others. I've seen my mother healed of cirrhosis due to a 40-year liquor habit. My 40-year-old friend who was healed from dialysis and kidney transplant list. The most amazing thing that happened recently was God told me to go to a certain dollar store. When I was shopping there, I heard a large bang. It was an older lady who fell out. All people were in shock, so I knelt down to pray. God told me not to give her CPR, so I used John 20:23, which is the remitting someone, forgiving someone's sin, and thanksgiving for her revival. She turned solid purple and began the death rattle. Jesus helped me to kick the demons out, and she came back to life in a second. I want to start a Jesus 9/11 ambulance service. Yeah. I'm currently believing in new teeth, pure, smooth skin everywhere in 2020 vision. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank you for your ministry. Your CDs are helping my Baptist husband become a radical Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, the Most High. Stacy Lee in Tennessee.
Amen. Praise
Praise the Lord. And then because I'd like to get this on the video, I told y'all before the music, my daughter Thursday morning texted me that her left ankle was sprained. She was on crutches. And so I prayed. And then later when Thurman got up, I asked him to pray with me also. And then she was taking me to Mother's Day dinner that night because she's left town today to go to St. Lucia, Caribbean Island. And so I said, well, are you sure you want to do this? And she said, well, we'll check later and see. And so later she said, no, let's do it. We'll just do a quick dinner. I said, okay. So we meet her at Papa Do's. She had told me that she had gone country dancing with the band. She's a singer in the band. And it ended up that one girl was leaving, and so she was out country dancing. That's what she told me. And she sprained her ankle. That's all she said. But, of course, sin of omission. She ended up saying all the girls got on the mechanical bull, and she also got on it, but she didn't take off her high heel wedges. And when they threw her off, she fell off the bull and sprained her ankle and put her on crutches. After we met with her, she could wiggle her toes, but she'd cried all night just with a sheet laying on her foot because she has no pain tolerance. And she was feeling really bad about it and just said, oh gosh, I'm leaving for vacation Sunday and I'm on crutches and what am I going to do? So we prayed again with, and Thurman told her, he said, you know, I was feeling sorry for you till I found out what you really did. You know? I said, well, repent.
I will have to say, too, that whilst her brother Scott went to get her car because she was on those crutches, he had to go way over there to get her car. While he was gone to get her car, Cheryl and I stood there on the curb, and I reached down and grabbed a hold of her ankle and prayed the prayer of faith for her complete healing on that ankle right there. And then, of course...
Okay, so then that next morning she texts me back because she has a bridal store, and she was also working the store during the day, singing at night, and she had some weddings and private parties, and so she was like overwhelmed with everything and still on the crutches as of Thursday. But Friday morning when she went to work, she was totally off the crutches, and praise the Lord, she said, for a miracle, and thank you for all of us praying.
Amen. Wow, wow, wow. Do we serve an awesome Jesus? I mean, Franz, is he awesome? He's more than awesome. That's we can't even come up with a word better than awesome, can we? We don't have a vocabulary enough. Wow, God is something. But it is a fantastic Mother's Day today, and we are so grateful for all of you mothers and all the efforts you put out. And I'm just like all the other boys and girls and whatever. I really didn't realize what my mother was going through until it was over. I really didn't realize how much time and effort and everything Mom spent raising us kids. I didn't realize how good a mother I had. I mean, I had a mother, and a dad that loved each other. They were married, I don't know, 60 years, I guess, or something like that before one of them went on to be with the Lord, and then a few years later, the other one went on to be with the Lord. I had no idea what life was about. I had no idea that there was kids out there in the world that had no mothers and fathers. I didn't know that. You know, I mean, I was raised in a little country town, well protected from the world. No radio, no TV, none of that stuff was not available, so you didn't see the junk of the world. You didn't even know it existed. You just worked, you know, you plowed fields, you followed behind a horse out there, and some of you never done that, but you know, I've done that, and it's so much fun to live on this earth that God has made with a good mother that loves you and a good daddy that loves you, and I thought everybody in the world lived like this. You know, I mean, if that's all you've ever seen, in fact, just to tell you that we lived in Goldsway, Texas, and I was raised in Goldsway, Texas, and that's only 100 miles from Austin, Texas. All of you know where Austin, Texas is. You may not know where Goldsway is. But to tell you how protected and a limited life that I had lived, my dad wanted to go to Austin one day to see his brother. He had a brother that worked down there in a store. And we drove in a pickup, and my sister and I rode in the back. You know, they won't let you do that today, but, you know, back in those days, it was no problem. We're driving down the road down there, and we pull up to a stoplight, and I look over, and there is a man standing there that's black. And I said, Daddy, what is wrong with that man? He said, what do you mean, son? I said, Dad, his skin is black. He said, well, son, that's a Negro. He said, God made some people with white skin and some with black skin and some with brown skin. He said, it just happened to be where we live, there's only white people. So here I was, 10 or 12 years old, and I had never seen anybody but a white person. I didn't know. I mean, you talk about a limited life. I had lived one, you know. So anyway, I didn't have any idea what God had done there. But I am so grateful, so grateful. I cannot, if my mother was here today, I couldn't possibly tell her how much I appreciate how wonderful a mother she was and how much she loved us kids and what she done for us kids. Yeah, but most people don't know. They have no idea what mothers and fathers do. But the problem is today, we got too many today that's not staying with them. You know, they're going their own ways and we're having all kinds of problems, and then we wind up with what we've got. We wind up with all these people that was not raised up in a home with a mother or a father or one or the other. Or, you know, I think about people that I know that was raised up in a home that when they got to be a little bit bigger, and some of them were young, the mother or the father or whatever or both of them left the child by themselves. I can't even imagine. My mother was such a mother that when my sister got killed in a car wreck and left three little boys, there was a man in town that wanted to adopt my sister's youngest son. He wanted to adopt Ricky. And so he come out and talked to us, and he said, Miss Scribner, if the load is too much for y'all to take care of these three extra children, my wife and I would love to adopt Ricky. And my mother thanked him and everything, and he left. And after he left, my mother said, you know, I will scratch with the chickens. I will do anything it takes. I will never give one of my babies to nobody. You know, I mean, I heard that with my own ears, but, you know, it didn't register. You know, if I ever heard a love statement, that was a love statement. My mother was willing to pay whatever cost, whatever price she had to pay to make sure that these babies got grown. And today those three young men are three wonderful young men. They love God. Two of them have married. One of them was handicapped physically because of his daddy's sin. I didn't know that either back in those days, but I learned it later. But anyway, it's amazing what happens when fathers commit adultery. Now, yesterday we had an awesome testimony right here. There was a young girl. I don't know how old she was, 10 or 12.
Nine.
Okay, she was 9 years old. And she gave us a test. Actually, her mother gave us a testimony. She said, I brought my daughter to you, I don't know how long ago, several years. She heard about us. Somebody gave her a CD or a DVD or something. And that Jesus heals. So when people, when they have a need, if they find a place where Jesus heals, that's a good place to go show up, isn't it? And so that's what she did. She came out here with her little daughter, this little girl, and this little girl had food allergies. She couldn't eat hardly anything. I mean, you know, this mother had to be so careful what she prepared for this child to eat. She just couldn't fix a bowl of cereal. She had to fix certain things. And I mean, if she didn't feed her the right thing, she'd die. You get choked up on it and everything else. So when she heard about us, she brought the little girl out here. And she said, first thing Cheryl and I started doing, we started talking to her and asking her what the problem was. And then how was the relationship between me and her daddy? And where was he since he wasn't here? They wanted to know. She said, I never saw anybody do this, but said, y'all wanted to know everything. And so said, as you were getting a hold of everything, finally you came down to the point where say, now how old was she when this happened? Well, she started getting this food allergy problem at 5 months. She was okay until she was 5 months. But at 5 months, she started having a problem. When she started having a problem, I said, okay, at 5 months, what did the daddy do? And she said, he committed adultery. I said, that's the problem. See, most daddies, even daddies in the church, have never heard this principle. They have never heard it. But yet it's been in God's word for thousands of years that if you sin, God will curse your children because of your sin. And it's there, and we don't believe it. I mean, we don't believe this. But anyway, she said that after we asked all these questions, and we told her that this happened at 5 months, and the daddy committed adultery at 5 months, then she said, well, okay, that you said that's the problem, and we're going to have to break the curse by remitting the sins of the dead, and then we're going to break the curse, kick out the demon. She said, I don't know how you did all that, but said, you was explaining it to me, but she said, it went over my head. I didn't get it. But said, obviously, God knew what you were doing. Because said, when you got through praying, my little daughter had a migraine headache. When you got through breaking the curses, kicking out the demons, and praying for her healing, she got up to leave, and she said, Mama, I didn't get but about 10 seconds away from Pastor Thurman when my headache went away, and I just knew I was healed. And so she said, we went home, and I'm thinking, can this be this simple? Can healing be this simple? But it can. And that's where we miss it. So they went home, and in the mother's unbelief, now thank God for a good mother, this mother, she said, Pastor Thurman said she's healed, so I can feed her. I have to do something. You know, she said, God, Lord, maybe I need to ask your permission. What do I need to do? How much do I don't want to overfeed her. What do I need to do? And Miss Jackie, what did the Lord tell that woman to do?
Load
up her plate. And so she said, I loaded her up, didn't she, Miss Jackie? And she said, since that day, that girl's been eating anything she wants. And but was she a beautiful little girl? I'm telling you, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful for good mothers. The mother was in the right place. The daddy, he wasn't much to say about. I mean, he's the one that caused the problem. When we see that the spiritual head of the home is the father, the sins of the father will be passed to the children, to the third and the fourth generation, unless there's sexual immorality, and then it goes 10 generations. And isn't that amazing? Yeah, Deuteronomy 23:2, that it goes 10 generations. But daddies have never heard these principles. I don't understand why. I just don't understand how that we can have lived in a place like this all these years. And we hear the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We read the Word of God. But I guess I can go back and look in my own life as a dad. When I used to read those things in the Scripture, I would kind of read over them thinking, you know, I don't understand that. What does that really mean, the sins of the father passed to the children? What does that really mean? I didn't get it. I do what, honey?
I know about the other family that was here.
Which one?
The one that the daughter was told, the Lord told her what the problem was.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, we had right here yesterday, there was a family of about five. And we were praying for them. And the father, again, the father, he was there. And his daughter, just recently, she's had this problem with her body. And a curse upon her. And they've been to doctors. They've done everything and nothing can fix her. Nothing. So she's praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what is wrong? You know, why can't I get healed? And the Lord gave this daughter a dream and said, your daddy committed adultery when you were a child. So she went to her daddy and asked her daddy, Daddy, did you commit adultery against Mama? And he said, I did. She said, when did you do it? She said, 21 years ago. And also, he said, you didn't know this, but when I committed that adultery, I got the woman pregnant, and she had a baby boy. Now, isn't that something? How would you like to find out here all of a sudden that you're standing here, and just only a few weeks ago, your daughter is asking God why she's sick, and God says it's because your daddy committed adultery with another woman 21 years ago. That testimony happened right here yesterday. It happened yesterday. But the daddy had repented and told God, I will never do that again. And he didn't. I asked him, I said, in the last 21 years, have you even thought about having sex with another woman? He says, no. I found out, said, when I got that woman pregnant out of wedlock, I realized I had really messed up. I have a wife. I have children. And now I've got another woman pregnant. I am in big trouble. And it brought a sickness upon his daughter. And she'd been sick all those years. Isn't that something? But you know, that's happening every day. Not once or twice. There is multitudes of people in the church that are committing adultery. And they have no idea that they're cursing their children. But we had two examples of that yesterday. That man that stood right there yesterday told me, I never heard, I've been in church most of my life. I have never heard a pastor or anybody say that the sins of the father would come upon the children. Never. He said, I never heard that until today. And he said, today, I thought when I first heard that, I thought, you know, surely that couldn't be why my daughter is sick. And then you give the testimony of the little girl sitting right there. He said, I got to hear a mother and a little girl give their personal testimony about how her husband's adultery had brought this sickness upon this child. And this child has not been able to eat anything hardly at all its whole life since it was 5 months old. Yeah. And of course, you know, when you talk about that, I think about, of course, Cheryl just mentioned this to me, that we had a man in Australia that he saw me on the Sid Ross show, and he heard me mention this, that, you know, that you can go to God and find out what your sin is so you can repent of that sin so you can get healed. You don't have to be sick. God's grace is wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, are we grateful that God forgives? Yeah. Oh, are we ever? So anyway, the man from Australia, you know, whenever he contacted us by email, and he told me, he said, I have never heard of this theory. I've never heard of this. But he said, you know, I was sick. I turned sick with the eczema when I was 7 years of age. Seven. He said, I was 7 years of age, and I come down with eczema. And he said, I've been to the he said, I'm now 45 years old, and I've been to the best doctors in the world, and I cannot get healed. He said, what do I need to do? I said, well, you need to take Jeremiah 33:3. You need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what did I do, or what did somebody else do that caused this sickness to come upon me? And I said, he will answer you. He said, Thurman, I'm 45 years old. I have never heard God's audible voice. I said, well, maybe you've never asked him according to his word. But Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you. Is that what he said, Franz? So if God says that, can God lie to us? No, he cannot lie. So he said, well, I'll do it. So he said, I went to the Lord and I read that scripture. And I said, Lord, I need to know what caused this sickness to come upon me. Now, thank you for the answer. And he said, the very second I said, thank you for the answer, he said, the Lord spoke to me. I heard his voice just as clear. And he said, son, your daddy committed adultery with a woman next door when you were seven. That's what caused the sickness to come upon you. He said, Lord, there was three of us kids at home. How come I got it only? He said, because you were your daddy's favorite. And the enemy knew that if he put this on you, that it would hurt your daddy worse by being on you than it would any one of the other two children, because he doesn't love the other two children as much as he loves you. Does God know everything, Tony? He knows everything. That was awesome. And so this boy, this young man, he 47 years old, 45 years old, been sick since he's seven. He called his mother. He picked up the phone. His daddy's already dead. Now, isn't that amazing? You know, you never put this together, do you? How come the daddy died so early? Maybe it's his sins of sexual impurity with other women that has caused him to die early. But anyway, he did. He was already dead. But so he called his mother and said, Mother, I just asked the Lord why I had this sickness, and the Lord spoke to me and told me that it's because Daddy committed adultery with a woman next door. Is that true? And she said, son, how did you find that out? And he said, I asked the Lord, and the Lord told me. Does God know everything?
Everything.
I mean, you can't hide nothing from him. He knows even the intents of your heart. So anyway, she said, yes, son, that's true. He did do that. And so you stop and think about the mothers. And there was a good mother. She didn't tell anybody. You know, she just continued to raise her children and do what she was supposed to do. And her husband, somewhere along the line, he died. And so then after he died, well, you know, that no, as far as she knew, nobody would ever know it because she wasn't going to tell nobody. And what nobody else knew. So, but just like that man, when he called unto the Lord and the Lord told him what the problem was, it's just like that girl that was standing right there yesterday. I asked God what caused my sickness. Now, isn't that amazing? When you hardly ever hear anybody that even talks about there's a reason. But I talk about it a lot because I want people to know what the consequences are. If you don't know, and just think how few people know these principles. Just think, the church, the most powerful organization on earth, that we have Jesus Christ as our King, and he's given us all power and all authority over everything, and we don't know it. You know, I mean, I remember the time talking about power and authority. You know, we, all of us in here, I'm sure, know what Luke 10, 19, and 20 says. You know, Luke 10, 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that these evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Now, if we believed that that was for us, and we believe we did have that kind of power, we wouldn't be afraid of nothing, would we? No, not afraid of nothing. I mean, you could walk right up to anything. You could walk up to a bull elephant and say, you know, get out of my way, buddy. You know, I'm coming through. I mean, if you really believed it, and if you did believe it really, it would work. But the thing about it is, we don't believe it. We absolutely don't believe that these things will work. Luke 10, 19, and 20, we have been given all power and all authority. If we really believe we had that kind of authority, we would do things different in the church. I mean, I stand in awe that, as God says, you've got to believe with no doubt in your heart. And I stand in awe that the number of people that's in the church, and some of us are even pastors and evangelists and everything else, that when you talk about healing, they're not sure that it means for them because they don't know it. They just don't know that healing belongs to you, that Jesus paid the price on the cross for your healing. He already done it. It's a done deal. You don't have to beg him to heal you. He already healed you. He did it on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now then, to make that work, 1 Peter 2:21-24. Let's put this on the board. I want you to see what 1 Peter 2:21. There's a requirement to make it work. It's amazing. I want you to look and see. 1 Peter 2:21. Let's look at this. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He left you and me an example. Well, if we were to just go that far, most of us would say, well, I don't know what that example is. I mean, I saw Jesus here, and I read some stuff about him, but I don't know nothing about him. But let's see what verse 22 says. Turn to verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. You know, I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. We went to church every time the door was open. I could not tell you how many times I've heard from the pulpit, you're just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. So you know you're going to sin, so there ain't no use to think you can go through the day without sinning. Have any of you ever heard those kind of statements? But what does this verse 22 say? If I'm supposed to use Jesus' example, then it says, who did no sin. How much sin is there supposed to be in my life? None. That's absolutely right. In other words, when I died to Christ, when I died to sin, when I became a believer, I died to the old man died, and we threw him in the river and let him coast off downstream. He is dead, and I'm alive to Christ now, and I'm a new creature, and all things become new, and the old man ain't there no more. He's gone. But that's where I got to remember. It takes effort. Who did no sin. So if God says I'm to use this example of Christ, and Christ had no sin in his life, then Max, how much sin is there supposed to be in your and my life?
Zero.
That's exactly right. Max got that 100% right. Didn't take him a heartbeat. He automatically knew that because it's written in God's word, who did no sin, neither is there guile found in his mouth. Okay, let's go to the next verse, 23, and see what that says. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Now, you know, that really takes something. You know, I mean, that really takes something. You know, if you can be the best guy in town. I mean, you can be the best loving guy in town. You can get along with all kinds of things. And if somebody walks up to you and trips you as you go by you and they hit you on the foot and trip you and turn around and say, hey, Buster, don't you say I'm sorry? And the guy says, I don't have to say nothing to you. Just get out of my way, old man. What? Is it hard to walk in love after that? You see what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Even when we suffered, there was no guile. Franz, you've been a hardworking man out there in the field all the time. Is it hard to just walk on and say, I love you anyway?
It's just impossible.
It's not impossible, Franz. You can do it. I mean, but this is where we live, folks. I know. I've been out there in the world, Franz. I do know. Yes, I guarantee. I was out there in that same business world that you were, you know, for years. I worked on those air conditioners and everything, and the same kind of mechanics and the same kind of people that you did. I've been out there, and I know how hard it is. It's almost impossible. Just like he said, it is impossible, but it's not impossible. You can do it, but you really got it. He said, when he was reviled, revile not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. I mean, this takes some effort. Are we all in agreement with this? It takes effort. It ain't going to be easy. You know, I mean, if you think you won't ever do anything like that, you can take the one that you love the most, your spouse, and you can be having a great day and going out to eat or something, and one of you makes the wrong kind of statement and the other gets mad at the other one. I know none of y'all ever done that besides me and Cheryl. Y'all with me? I mean, to tell you, it takes some effort. To walk in love is like Franz said, when he said it's impossible, I'm telling you, it's not impossible, but it's nearly impossible. It does take some real effort. When he was reviled, revile not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now, who do you think he turned himself over to? God the Father. If we could do that same thing, if we turn ourselves over to God the Father... Now then, I realize this is going to be tough, but it's possible to do what this says because when we look at what he said and we do what he says, then verse 24, let's see what it says will happen in 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now that's Jesus. Who his own self, Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin, now then if you can do this and you can meet this requirement of verse 21 through 23, 24 here, you will die to sin. And when you die to sin, he said, then you being dead to sins, you should live unto righteousness. And then look at the reward. By whose stripes ye were healed. So if you and me can meet the requirements, and it is not easy, I will say, to meet the requirements of verse 21 through 24, to get down to that part where you're dead to sin and alive to Christ. Max, that takes some real work, doesn't it, son? Because we're human beings, right? And we got a thing called the flesh, right? And just like Franz. Franz has got a flesh bob, too. We all got one, right, Franz? Yeah, I guarantee. So if we would do what God says and walk in love, just think, according to that scripture we just read, if you can commit yourself to Jesus and you can walk in love and you do what he says You know, no sin. You don't go out and sin. You die to sin. You let him pay the price, which he really did. And if you don't even revile, whenever you're reviled, you don't revile again, nothing. You commit everything to the Father and walk holy before God. He clearly says in that verse right there, the last line, that you will never be sick. Is that what that says?
Yes.
You will never be sick. And like we said a while ago, when everybody held up their hand, how many of you would like to go through life and never be sick again?
Yes.
Ooh, I see he provided it. Yep. But it ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be simple. Nothing is simple and nothing's easy in the kingdom. You know, Jesus paid the price for everything, but we have to receive that by faith. If you receive that by faith, and like I say, you got to make sure that you die to sin and you live unto righteousness. You let Jesus pay the price. You commit yourself to the Father. When you commit yourself to the Father, just like this lovely young lady right here, when she committed herself to Jesus in really, really real belief, she got healed. And she had been down sick with that pain for 20-something years. And as you said, you don't like that pain. Being well is so much better, isn't it, Paula? It's just so amazing how simple. It really is simple, but are y'all with me seeing that it takes some real effort to walk dead? That's why here a while back when I was teaching that out of Romans, I'm saying now then, I want to ask y'all a question. How many of y'all have died to sin this week? I hope everybody would hold up their hand. I died to sin this week. I'm going to live unto righteousness. Because if I die to sin because of what Jesus did for me, and I turn everything over to the Father, and I live unto righteousness, he clearly promised I will never be sick again. He said, by my stripes, you were healed. Is that what he said, Miss Carrie? So we like that, don't we? We love it. Why is it that we don't do that? Why is it? I guess we don't pound that word in our heart enough, reckon? Because if we pound that word, Scott, if we pound that word in us, we will walk there.
Absolutely.
I think about this young couple right here. And I think about how I can remember her telling me that she's a school teacher, used to be a school teacher, how she told me that when she had come out of the Catholic Church and she got involved a little bit with the Word of God, and she came up on this wonderful teaching of Matthew 18:19 that says, again, I tell you that if just two of you on earth agreed about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. And then she made this statement, you know, this would really be nice if that was true. Now, this is in God's Word. And we've been taught to not believe God's Word. Is that right? I mean, we read something. I mean, if Jesus could make a statement to and here she's not just a normal old woman. She's a school teacher. She's educated. She's brilliant. You see what I mean? Yeah, she's not old. She's still young, you know. But here she is with the Word of God and trying to think, you know, Lord, a super educated woman. I mean, she's a school teacher and everything. She knows she's got an education. And here when she reads something out of God's Word, wouldn't it be nice if that really did work? But guess what? She found out one day when she met me, I told her that did mean what it said. It only took one man to tell her the truth, her and her husband. When they both got a hold of that, especially after she got healed of her back injury, after that, these two are going out asking the Lord to do all kinds of things for people all ever, wherever they work, whatever Scott's doing. They're doing things and they're sharing Jesus with people and they're getting people saved, healed, and delivered every day. It does work, doesn't it, Scott?
The Word does work.
isn't that amazing? The Word does work. Isn't that something? But we see it, isn't it wonderful to see God do all these wonderful things for people? He is a mighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But just look at that one more time. Let's go back there one more time. Let's see what the Lord says there. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. by whose stripes we were healed. You know, when I used to use this verse in a healing school, I always quoted only one part of the verse, the last line, by whose stripes you were healed. I mean, think about that, you know, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. That ought to get anybody healed, but it wasn't getting nobody healed. I didn't understand why it wasn't working. You would think, if it says by his stripes you were healed, then you ought to just be able to quote that, by his stripes you were healed. But I've quoted that with people, and I had people quote that over and over and over and over, and it didn't work. So if it didn't work, then I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I don't understand this. This says this, I'm healed by his stripes. I don't understand this. There's got to be something missing. I mean, your word, it can't be true. It's got to be true. So by whose stripes you were healed. But why aren't they not healed? When I pray for them and they quote the word, when they quote by his stripes I was healed, how come they don't get healed? And he told me one day, I was walking right down the center aisle and I mentioned that verse. And when I did, the Lord spoke to me right there on the floor and said, son, will you start at verse 21 before you read verse 24? And I just casually said, well, Lord, I don't know what verse 21 says. He said, that's obvious. That's obvious. So you need to read verse 21. So I said, okay, Lord, let's back up to verse 21. So go back up to verse 21 one more time. And let's see what it says. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also died, suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. I looked at that a little while and I thought, you know, it's amazing. I didn't know that was in there. So I said, if I'm supposed to follow his steps, then I wonder what it says in verse 22. So we put verse 22 up there again. And it says, who did no sin. That was the example that Jesus left for me. There was to be no sin. Now then, if I can walk with you or beside anybody else all day, every day, and I commit no sin, I'm not going to have to worry about being sick. There ain't going to be no sickness. I mean, there's too many things in this book that tells you that if you do what he says, there will be no sickness. I don't like sickness. I'm like Jimmy. You know, at 88, when he had his first sick day, he said, I was sick one day and I didn't like it. So he said, I repented of my sin and I've never done that again. He said, I have never had another sick day. 90-something years old. Now, tell me the Word of God don't work. I'm telling you, look at Jimmy Davidson, you'll know that the Word of God works, right? Amen. Wow, who did no sin. Jesus did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. The next verse. And when he was reviled, now this is the one that's really something to think about. He reviled not again. When he suffered even, he threatened not. Can you imagine? And I don't think we can. But can you imagine being beaten with a cat of nine tails? I mean, I saw my dad hit himself in a bull. We was trying to run some cattle in the pen. My dad had a big old long bull whip, leather bull whip with a big rigid handle about that long. And he was driving those bulls in there, and one of them pushed the gate over and it hit Dad just as he come over to hit that bull. And when he did, his hand went the wrong way and hit his own self in the back with that whip. I mean, I saw the pain in his eyes with that one lick. But he hit himself. You know, he was going to hit that bull, but that bull pushed that gate, and that gate pushed him over. But it hurt him. It really hurt him. But he got up and went on and drove it in there and everything. And I later thought about that. You know, I saw the pain in Dad's eyes with one lick of a leather strap on his own back with a shirt on. Of course, he had a shirt on. But it hit, and I can see the pain in his eyes, and I could really see it in his heart, how he suffered. I thought, you know, the picture of Jesus flashed into my heart. He was totally naked. And they beat him within an inch of his life. I mean, they tore pieces of flesh out of his body with that cat of nine tails. And I think he did that for me. He did that for you, didn't he, Franz? If we would obey him, he says, by my stripes you were healed. That's how you got healed that day when we prayed for you. The stripes of Jesus had already been paid. All we had to do is remit our sins, your sins, my sins, Cheryl's sins. And we prayed the prayer of faith for you, and Jesus completely, instantly, totally, completely healed you right there. Ain't that something? He's a mighty God, isn't he, Franz?
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. He's so awesome. And his love, that he died up there. He was on that cross, and they was beating him and tearing the flesh out of his back. And he's looking down there and saying, Father, Franz is going to need this one day. He already knew that. He said, I'm going to bear this for Franz because I love him. I'm going to take his pain and his suffering and his stripes. By my stripes, he's going to be healed when he needs it. Isn't that amazing? And we saw it happen. We saw you get healed whenever we prayed over you and that big old tumor in your mouth went away and nothing flat. Is Jesus the healer?
Yes, he is.
Did he pay the price for all of us?
Yes.
Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that you paid that price for me. Lord, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for what you did on that cross, how you paid that price for me, and you went to that cross. And Lord, as you looked down from up there, you looked down and you said to your own Father, you said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. He forgave them for me right there on that cross so that I don't have to be sick, so that by his stripes, if I will just make an attempt to walk holy in his presence, if I'll just make an attempt to be a man of God, if I'll just make an attempt to pray with my wife and my children, my grandchildren, if I'll just make an attempt to tell others about Jesus, if I'll just make an attempt, he said, that's what I want you to do. Then if you'll do that, then I'll do things for you that's beyond your wildest dreams. And he does, doesn't he?
Yes, amen.
And sometimes we don't even think about what he does and what he did and how he paid that terrible price for us. But are we grateful?
Yes.
Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you. I want us to turn to James chapter 3, verse 1. Would you read that for me, honey?
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation.
Who's he? What's he talking about there? What's he trying to say? My brethren, be not many masters or many teachers. You know, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Do you realize that what he's trying to say here, that if you're a teacher of his rules, his law, he expects you to teach it just exactly like he wrote it, not according to what you heard or what anybody else says. He expects you to teach his word exactly like he wrote it. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And we're going to teach his word, word for word, line by line, precept upon precept. We want this book to be perfect without any kind of flaw. Then let's see what the next line says. Go to the next verse.
For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body.
Now think about that. Think of the power that's in your tongue. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, teach the word true, like it's written. He said, if you will do that, then the same, you are a perfect man. People say, you know, it's impossible for us to be perfect. Obviously, that's not true. God would never have told us to be perfect or it was possible for us to be perfect if it wasn't possible. I mean, if we do what he says, you know, for in many things we offend all. If any man or woman offend not in the word, the same is a perfect person, able to bridle the whole body. Now then, here's what you don't realize you do. I pray for you, and you come up and you say, I say, I prayed for you, now it's a done deal. Well, I sure hope so. I love my husband to death. Have you ever heard that? I love my husband to death. I love my wife to death. I'd do anything for her. I'll do anything for him. But the word, you don't realize what you're doing with the word. When you're saying with your words, in fact, I made a teaching years ago called The Tongue. And it's three CDs. And I think that's right. It's been a long time since I listened to it. But those three CDs teach you what the Word of God says about the power of the tongue. And how you just don't understand that what you say is what you get. I forget that. You know, I need to listen to that more myself. Isn't it amazing? I want you to start this week. I want you to make a promise to your body that I will listen to every word I speak. And body, I promise you, I will not speak anything negative against you. I will not say. Women. Cheryl and I, and all the places in the foreign country we've been, I mean, there was a beautiful woman came up. She had breast cancer. She came up, and when we talked to her, I said, ma'am, you don't love yourself. Or Cheryl probably told her that. And she looked at me, and she says, who could love me? I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, any man in his right mind would have no problem loving you. She was a gorgeous woman. You know, y'all see where I'm coming from? I mean, you'd think that she had two extra legs or something, you know, or a horn sticking out of the side of her face or something, you know, because that's kind of the way we see ourselves. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, I'm a daughter of the King. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You made me, and I'm going to walk in love, and I'm going to be good to everybody. I'm going to be the best wife in town. I'm going to be the best woman. I'm going to be the best mother. I'm going to do things to bless my children. Lord, I thank you that I am going to be perfect in all my ways because I'm going to learn to control this tongue in my mouth. If you start talking like that, since that's exactly what God's Word says, do you think you make the master happy? I think so. In many things, we offend all. The same as a perfect man that's able to also to bridle the whole body. You can handle the whole body. The next verse, let's see what the next verse says.
Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body.
Isn't that amazing? You know, when I was raised up on a farm with animals like that, and I know exactly what that means when you take a horse. You know, you can take four horses and put them up there to pull a plow, and you can have one set of reins here in your hand, and you can make all four of those horses go anywhere you want them to go. You know, with that little rein. You know, it's amazing. Or you can go out here and get on one of these horses out here. These kids do it all the time. Get up on a 1,000, 1,200-pound horse. The kid weighs 80 or 90 pounds, and they make that big monster go wherever they want him to go. With just a set of reins. You know, when they lean him over, they expect him to respond because they know they have dominion and authority, and that horse knows that too. But we should put... But we've also put bits in the mouth of a horse and turn about the whole body. But that's exactly what happens. Let's see the next verse, verse 4.
Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth.
Yeah. You know, I thought when my first cousin, he loved to sail. And I had never done any sailing at all. And I met him at Brownwood Lake one time, and he come down from Cross Plains, and he brought his boat, a sailboat, and we put it in the lake. And I told him, I said, the wind was blowing probably 20, 25 miles an hour that day. It was pretty stiff. I said, okay, so I can understand how we can go with the wind to go here, but when we get over there, how are we going to get back? I didn't know how a sailboat worked, and I didn't know how to make the airfoils turn, but he showed me. Man, you could make that boat go anywhere you wanted it to go. I mean, you could make it go straight across the lake. You could make it go sideways. You could just go anywhere you wanted to go. It was all in the knowledge of knowing how to do that. Now, when I first went down there that day, if you'd have put that boat out there in the water and put me out there by itself, we'd have been in trouble. I'd have wound up on the other shore over there, and I'd have been looking for a motorboat to pull me back. That's for sure, because I would have never known how to do it. But he was smart, and he really knew how to sail. And he showed me how. And before that day was over, me and him was sailing that little boat all over Lake Brownwood. It was no problem. How you can take a little bitty sail on a pretty good big boat and how that thing can just go, and it's just amazing how much fun that was to do that. But I thought, wow, that's just like this scripture says. You can take the same thing. You can put a rudder on a ship. And you think about, if you've ever looked at some of these ships that are pulled up out of the water, these huge monsters, whenever we're working on them, you know, like the military ships and stuff, that they got such humongous rudders and actually they're small compared to the ship. And then they got their propellers and all that stuff on those things. And to think, those things go all over the world. They drive those boats anywhere they want them. And you can take hundreds of tons of steel and it'll float. You know, who in their right mind would think that hundreds of tons of steel would float? You'd think it'd just go right to the bottom. But it doesn't. It floats. And so I just think, wow. Verse 5. Let's see what verse 5 says.
Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
Have any of you ever been like me and you've had trouble controlling your tongue? It can get you in lots of trouble, can't it? It says there, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. I think about the men, and we're all kind of like this. Some are much worse than others. But I think of the men that I've been on a job site with, or I've been on an airplane with, and I think about some of the bragging. Some of those men have mastered a lot of things. And some of them are great pilots, you know. And if you want to find out how good a pilot is, if he's been a pilot for a long time, just ask him a question about flying and you're off to a new world. He will tell you how good he is, how long he's been flying. He knows everything. And it's all coming out of that thing right there in his mouth called the tongue. Now, the Lord says, and of course, I got tickled that one of my good friends, he had a son, and he was a really great little guy. Him and his dad went down to the Gulf Coast, and he was an airline pilot, by the way. They went down to the Gulf Coast fishing, and they caught a pretty nice fish. I mean, that fish was a pretty nice fish. He had pictures of it, but before he showed me the pictures, he was telling me about that fish. And he said, Thurman, we've got this one. I locked onto this thing, and this thing's pulling the rod over, and that thing's coming out of the water. And Hall said, boy, what a battle. But said, we got that thing on board. Said, that ship, that fish was this big. And his son says, Daddy, every time you tell that story, that fish gets a little bigger. His dad didn't like that at all, I'll tell you for sure. But I got so tickled at Dad. Every time you tell that story, that fish gets a little bigger. Oh, goodness. The tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire it kindleth. Next verse.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Whoa.
What do you think about that little critter? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. In other words, we got many members ourselves, but that little thing in your mouth, it defiles the whole body. What do you think that means when it says it defiles the whole body? Do you really think that you could say, I don't think I want to do this anymore, or I think I want to do this, anything negative? What really gets us, I believe, and I hear this with people all the time, we make statements that we've heard somebody else use, like, I just love you to death. Have you ever heard that statement?
Yeah.
I love you to death. And I thought to myself, no, Lord, we don't want to love her to death. We want to love her to life. You know, I don't want her to die. I want her to be alive, you know. But, you know, that's why the Lord's trying to tell us the importance of our tongue. He's trying to tell us what it can do and how it can kill us and how it can totally destroy us. And, I mean, I think about this in many ways, but I think about this little boy, and all of you will know who I'm talking about, especially if you're a golfer. But there was a little boy born to a man, and he loved to play golf. Now, he was not a professional golfer, I don't think, but he was a good golfer. And he had this little son, and he took this little boy, and up to the time he was big enough to stand up, he put a little golf club in his hands and say, "Son, hit that ball across the floor. You're going to be the best golfer the world has ever seen." Now, this dad, he told this kid this over and over and over and over. And guess what the kid finally started doing? He started believing it. And this kid kept doing the same thing. He would practice. He would hit that ball. And his daddy said, "Keep it up, son. You're going to be the best golfer the world ever seen." And that kid, who knows what who that kid was? Isn't that amazing? So he did turn out to be an awesome golfer, didn't he? Now then, what if you go the other way and you say, I don't like you. I didn't want you. I wished I had never had you. You were a mistake. Do you hear people talk like that? I deal with them all the time, ladies and gentlemen. I guarantee I know this is true. When you hear people that say, "Well, all my dad ever told me that I would never be worth nothing. I would never be able to accomplish nothing." And I've heard that. You have no idea how many times that has stabbed me in the heart when I'd say, "Oh, God, thank you, Lord, that my daddy never had nothing but good things to say about me." And my mother, since this is Mother's Day, my mother, she told me constantly, "Son, remember, you're a son of God. All things is possible through you." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ." She said, as a son of God, there's nothing you can't accomplish in life. And guess what? Out of nearly 78 years, it is 78 years, guess what I have not been able to accomplish? There's nothing. Everything I start, everything I put my hands to, it didn't matter what I went to do, whether I was going to build a building, tear down a building, fly an airplane, a single engine, a four-engine jet, whatever I was going to fly, when I went at it, I knew if I was going to teach the systems on a Lockheed Electra or a DC-8, I knew I could do it because I'd heard my mama tell me, "You can do all things through Christ." And that's why I was rated as one of the best instructors at Braniff and American. I got the top rewards and everything else. Why? Because somebody told me I could do it. And most of it was a mother that said, "Son, you can do it." Pat your kids on the head and say, "I can do it." In fact, one day I used to do this at Lakeland when I was a deacon at Lakeland. I would walk down the aisles of that church, several hundred people, and there'd be a little boy standing there with his mother or dad or something. And I'd walk up and I'd pat him on the head and say, "Boy, are you potential for the kingdom of God?" I said, "There ain't nothing you can't do, you and Jesus." I had a mother tell me one day, she said, "Thurman, you said that to my son one day," and said, years later, my son still tells people about that. That's the thing he remembered about Thurman Scrivener. He's the man that laid his hands on his head and said, "Son, keep up the good work. There's nothing impossible with you." Is your tongue a deadly thing? Can it be a good thing?
Yes.
Yes, it can either. Well, the Lord in Proverbs 18:21 goes so far as to say, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And every man shall eat the fruit of his tongue. So if you believe that, you're going to get what you say. So why don't we start saying what we want? "Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, it's written in your word. I don't have to sin. I ain't going to sin no more. I'm going to walk in love. No sin in my life. I can do it." Can you? Since Jesus commanded us to walk in love with no sin, can we do that? Sure we can. He didn't say it's going to be easy, but he said you can do it. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege to know you as our Lord and Savior. And we're so grateful for mothers and the Mother's Day. And thank you for all these wonderful mothers that have poured out their hearts, the ones that are here in this room. Most of them have poured out their heart for their own children and have loved them beyond anything that the children are able to comprehend. They have mothers beyond their wildest dreams. But Lord, the whole world don't have all these mothers. They got people, and so always people are not good mothers, only those that are trained by God. So Lord, we thank you for training these mothers and making them great and wonderful and awesome mothers, and using them to help us as sons. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.